Welcome back. Please do sit down. Tom has circulated to you the decision and next steps paper that we were referring to yesterday. And there's something that I would like to raise with you regarding this compiling, asking for input from GAC members on answers to these questions we have started to discuss about the CCWG. And we've heard that, and you see it in the email of Julia from Denmark that she just sent to the whole GAC. We have agreed on a deadline of 14th of July for all GAC members to send answers to us, which we would then forward to the CCWG as input, compiled input from GAC members. But apparently the CCWG is basically compiling input as well, and Julia urged us that we would make the deadline slightly shorter so that the input from GAC members goes to the CCWG in time so that they can actually put it in their paper that they will produce like 1 or 2 days before the meeting. So we propose to you to go to Friday of the week before the face-to-face meeting in Paris, which is the 10th of July. So you also see it already in the decision, in the list of decisions that we've already provisionally amended it. So if it's okay for you, the deadline for submitting answers to the questions that you will receive is 10 July. So that would allow us to then feed this list into the CCWG work that they can put it in their compilation. I hope that this is acceptable. So I see no objections, so take this as accepted. And this document that with the decisions and next action items is something that will be completed with the decisions we take today. So what you have now is takes into account all the decisions that were made until yesterday, and what we discuss and decide today will be added once we finished our session, and then a final version of that decision document will be sent out to you after today, when we have closed the session. Thank you. Okay. So next on the agenda, we have, as we switched things, we have an update on the GAC website and a discussion with the decision on some clarifications about the travel support rules. So let's start with the update on the website, and we have lead is Tracy from Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you, Tracy.
All right, thank you very much, Thomas. And working with me on the website is the ASIC Secretariat and the GAC ICANN staff, so they can, I guess, interject at any point in time. Tracy from the ASIC Secretariat, so Tracy and Tracy working together on this. All right, so just as you can see, next slide, please. The current GAC website was created in 2011. It's not rendering. Yeah. And some work has been ongoing on that ever since, but not until 2014 has a decision been taken to do some significant revamping of the site. That's what the bringing on of ASIG as a secretariat. As you recall, a survey was sent out to users in 2014. GAC members filled it out and came up with some gaps and some needs that we are attempting to fill. And since then, we've been working with the ICANN staff to see how best we can treat with the issue moving forward into 2015, with this, which is effectively now. Next slide, please. Yeah, so unfortunately you're not seeing the graphics.
Your slides are not rendering properly.
Yeah.
None of them are rendering properly. The last one had graphics as well. None of the graphics are coming.
That's okay. I think we'll move pretty quickly through it. So the on the left of the, unfortunately not seeing the graphics, but on the left-hand side, it's the Is it left? Is it?
Yeah.
Left? Yes, left. Yes. The left-hand side, you're seeing the new project, which is the streams of activity happening there. And in that, we are attempting to work alongside the ICANN approach, which is there's a common approach for ECs and SOs in dealing with the content and developing personas and so on. And the ELAC is actually one of the first projects that they're working on today. And their website is currently being revamped, and we're using that as a model. Okay, the slide is gone. So on the right-hand side... okay, excellent. There we go. Okay, good. Right, so there we go. On the right-hand side, which is the green, we are also doing some rework of the current website, so that there are some particular issues that were identified by ourselves as well as yourselves in terms of addressing the gaps in the current work. And as you can see there, we are doing some of that work today. And some of that work has already been moving forward in terms of developing a search for the overall GAC website, which has been missing for some time, removing duplication of content, trying to have better navigation of the existing content, and so on. The whole point of this is that we're reliant on ICANN staff, on the one hand, in terms of the revamp of the existing site, as well as the new site to move it forward. And we are looking from the GAC for some guidance as to how we can proceed next. So if you move to the next slide, the proposed approach is to almost shadow the existing work of the ALAC site. But the ALAC website, as we've discovered, in this meeting, is still quite far behind, which means that our intention of having a website ready by the end of 2015, early 2016, seems to be challenged significantly, because the ALAC website doesn't seem to be ready in that time frame as well. And we're starting after the ALAC website. And we're working with ICANN staff to address those time frames. But as you can see on this slide, we don't really have an overall even start date, if you want to call it that, as well as an end date for this project. So from the chair, vice chairs, and from the GAC, next slide, please. We're hoping to get some sort of maybe a trigger for the project to move forward a little faster. And we're asking the GAC to agree to, well, of course, continuing to move the project forward with Transbigo as the lead, perhaps even creating a task force of some sort within the GAC that we can actually call the GAC staff, I'm sorry, the ICANN staff to work with us in a more structured way, and perhaps ask the GAC chair and executive to write to ICANN in some form, asking them to provide some guidance on timeframes. We're also looking for volunteers of the GAC. I recall in a previous iteration, we had Singapore, we had Paraguay volunteering to assist. Any further members, we are willing to bring onto this task force. So please do send your names to the secretariat. And we want to thank Julia and the ICANN support staff for continuing to develop the site and revamp the existing site. And if there are any concerns that you have with the existing site today, please do continue to send them to us that we can address them quickly. I think that's about it for the wrap-up, unless anyone has any questions or if Tracy wants to add anything. I think that's about it for me, Thomas.
Thank you, Tracy. Any questions or comments on the website and on the concept and the proposed way ahead as well? If that is not the Spain.
I propose that we prioritize the issues that should be tackled in order to improve the GAC website, given that we don't have certainty as to when we will receive the ICANN staff support in order to revamp the GAC website. So if that is the case, maybe we can start with the things that needs improvement more urgently than others, and thus structure the work if it's feasible. For instance, the GAC register of advice is really difficult to navigate through, and it's not complete. But this is just an idea. Thank you.
Yes, and again, that's the kind of input we're looking for, that we can work with the existing site and the existing secretariat staff to see how best we can improve the existing site, as well as take that forward for the new site. I believe there's maybe some approach that we can use in terms of doing a requirements document and having that being agreed to by ICANN staff, and a timeline being assessed, so we can add that to it as well. So I it's sort of a parallel activity, and we hope that we'll improve the existing site, given that there likely will be a delay in delivering that site by the end of this year, and perhaps incorporate that new content into the a new work into the planned new GAC website.
Further comments or questions? If not, then let's try and be clear about the next steps. So first of all, I think everybody agrees that Trinidad and Tobago will continue to have the lead. And then, of course, I'm happy to write to ICANN to tell them what we expect and give them an idea of what we would expect, and then ask them until when and if, and if so, until when and how they can deliver this. For the temporary, for the reworking of the existing website as an interim, what exactly is the input that you would need still in order to be able to do this? Maybe you can clarify this.
Right, so right now the current website is being worked on literally by the Julia, along with, I think she says, one person from ICANN. It does take some time, but she is working to get that done. The challenge we face is that the way the current website is configured, some of the things that are required, even what Hema is suggesting, is very hard to deliver. So reformatting the register of advice might have technical challenges with the current platform. So we'll do what we can, but we'll take the information and the requirement forward. So that will go into, as you're recommending, some sort of letter that will be prioritized in a new website, perhaps even delivered as a piece of functionality first, and so on. But the issue really is that the current website, current platform, is very hard to work with to deliver the new functionality we're looking for. And we're doing what we can with the content we have. Yeah. And I'm advised that the current site, which is a wiki environment, is not supported or will not be supported in the future. Yeah, so it's going away. So it's very difficult to get new functionality deployed.
So just restricted to Julia, as
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Questions, comments? So I think let's just follow all channels, like working on the existing one to the extent this is feasible and reasonable, and at the same time continue to develop the new one, and also to get clarity from ICANN to what extent and how they can support us, or if they couldn't, then we would need to look for alternatives on how to get a website out of the ICANN system if the GAC would think that what ICANN can give us is not sufficient. This would be an ultimate consequence, but I hope that we won't get there, so I hope that we will get a website that from ICANN in the system that will work for us. So thank you, Tracy, for following this up, and we look forward to hear more from you and also, of course, from the Secretariat on this issue.
Thank you.
And I think just whenever you, as a users of the website, have some ideas or things that you realize when using it, feel free to continue forwarding ideas to Tracy and the Secretariat, and they will try to see what is possible. So thank you very much, Tracy. We have actually a second, this is a split session in the sense that we didn't have enough slots, but we have two items that we need to discuss. The second item, as already alluded to, and as you see on the item heading in the agenda, is the issue of travel support. We have some regulation, maybe I'll find a better word for this. We have some rules for travel support. Who gets travel support, under what conditions, and so on and so forth. And there has been the feeling that these rules were not fully clear or fully coherent. We've had some previous discussions and also consultations via email by the GAC. And I would like to give the floor to Olaf to bring us up to date on where we are and how we can... At least this is a hope to have a decision on having clarity on the travel support rules. So, Olaf, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And, just to give the background, the previous travel support rules document was actually dating a couple of years back. So it was high time to do an update in various respects and brush up and put it in to make it consistent with current ICANN constituency travel rules, because those are at the foundation of all this, and the GAC travel support rules just builds on top of that for the particular GAC aspects we need to have. So there were a few adaptations and a few clarifications in the first draft that was put to the GAC leadership and want support there, and then sent it out to the GAC list. I got a few comments back regarding the clarification made regarding the so-called pre-approved organizations, IDOs, that can enjoy travel support, and a few detailed comments on this, that, and the other, which we looked into and took up at least one of those three while explaining why the others were not really appropriate in relation to the ICANN constituency travel rules, which are, as I said, at the basis of all this. And also then what happened, so sent out a new version of the travel support rules last week. Then a few things happened. First of all, since the selection committee consists of the chair and vice chairs for the selection of supported travelers, we had a change from 3 to up to 5 vice chairs, so that needed to be reflected. And we have some other interesting news as well, that we have got an increase. We requested an increase from 25 to 30 supported travelers, plus 5 for the pre-approved. That request has been granted, so that needed to be reflected as well, which it is in the most recent version then sent out to you, dated the day before yesterday. So this is the document we have in front of us, and which is up for, I would say, adoption by all of you, or at least, in the first instance, for comments or clarifications. I think that would do as an introduction, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you. Comments and questions, please. Yes, Jamaica.
It's OAS. We had submitted comments concerning the qualifications as a pre-approved organization, understanding the context that the qualifications would mean not having any members as a part of the OECD and having to be headquartered in LDC. We would just want to put to the floor any support concerning OAS's qualifications of being a pre-approved from the point of view that we represent 32 member states who do fall on both lists. We the cybersecurity program specifically in terms of how we participate in these meetings comes from what we call specific funding, meaning that we're unable to participate regularly unless we have a specific fund to actually treat with this. We have been doing outreach to our members to become part of the GAC, but until then, we believe that it is important for us to be here to represent the interests of our members in the interim. If not in a pre-approved status, at least a special consideration if we do apply to attend the meetings, if not all three meetings, at least one meeting per year. And given the new structure of the proposed ICANN meetings, the meetings that would be most important based on the interest of our member states. So I just want to put that to the GAP members for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe for the sake of clarification, and that everybody may be in full knowledge of this, Olaf, could you quickly explain what a pre-approved organization is and how this system works, what the criteria are for this eligibility? That may be helpful for us all to fully understand.
Most certainly. Thank you, Chair. And this is, well, it has been codified in the update, but it's actually codifying what was the established practice before then. And, well, just to quote, I read it out, you can read it yourself, to become a pre-approved organization, the organization must be dedicated to the interests of LDCs, SIDS, so least developed countries, small island developing states, have no members from the OECD, and you all know what that stands for, and be based or headquartered in LDC or SIDS. That's how it runs right now, and I can only say that most certainly so, that among the 32 IGO observers that the GAC has currently, well, not very many would qualify with those criteria, or do qualify with those criteria. But that's the approach that has been used so far.
Just to ask for clarification, where in this I cannot find these provisions in the GAC travel support program document that you sent out. Where are these provisions in this document, or are they in a different document?
Oh, I'm reading from the end of the first paragraph, starting with provision has been made and so on and so forth. And at the very end, you have the last sentence of the first para, to become a pre-approved organization, etc. Just to identify where in the text we are.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on this? Yes, Trinidad and Tobago, thank you.
Yes, having, this is Trinidad and Tobago, having worked on this before and with the fellowship program as well, I think the issue is, and I think the way OAS raised it, is whether or not can the IGO or the observer member obtain not pre-approved status, but on a case-by-case basis. So the issue is whether or not at any GAC meeting would the five slots be used up. One of the challenges we had faced before is that the five slots were designed to be allocated to these regions, and there are slots that haven't been taken up yet by, like, for example, the Pacific Islands. The Pacific community hasn't expressed interest. So it's entirely possible that the Pacific and other similar region organizations may take up the travel support. So it'll be very difficult to assign pre-approved status to other organizations, I would imagine. But perhaps the issue of the case-by-case basis might be considered, I think, during the application and approval status. But the with the proviso that is not a precedent setting exercise, that if one gets travel support, doesn't mean there's a flood of applications from, you know, the others saying, well, we also want travel support, and suddenly it creates a problem for who it's meant for if they're looking for support. I think that's what was trying to be avoided. Thank you.
Thank you, Trinidad and Tobago. First of all, I think one thing is to be a pre-approved organization. If you're not a pre-approved organization, that means you still have a chance to get travel support, to make this clear. The other thing is, I think that was a question that has been raised earlier on the list. We would need to check and see whether those who are currently count as pre-approved organizations actually do fulfill the criteria. If that is the case, fine. If that is not the case, we would have to amend that list. I think that is clear. Another question for understanding. So the criteria that an organization must be dedicated to the interest of the LDCs, SIDSs, and have no members from the OECD and be based or headquartered in an LDC, SIDS, this is something that has been there before, or is this a new proposal?
It's actually codifying what was established practice. So it's put it out, it spells it out, but it's no change from how it was considered before.
Okay, thank you for this clarification. Further comments and questions? Spain?
This is on another part of the travel support. Okay. There is a rule saying that priority consideration can be given to a requester based on the location of the GAC meeting in order to enhance participation from a particular region. It's okay because it's not compulsory. It's priority consideration can be given, but it has always struck me that the rule favors participants who are in the region because flight tickets for them are cheaper than for the ones that come from regions that are far apart. So the rule for me could be the other way around. But in any case, it is a flexible rule because it can be given. It's not much be given. So we can assess it on a case-by-case basis and looking at the application that we have received for a particular meeting. Thank you.
And just to make that abundantly clear, this is not a change. This is exactly as it has been since the previous version. So it hasn't been introduced, hasn't been modified. It remains the same from the previous version of the travel rules.
Thank you. Well, we take note, but I think we can still ask ourselves questions whether existing rules make sense. Also, what I've heard is that something we may reflect, but the question is whether we would actually make this part of the holistic review of the operating principles or do it on a separate track. If you can support a person for 3 consecutive meetings and then you need to stop, and then you can continue to support travels from the same country but you need to give it to another person, you can question whether this actually makes sense in terms of building the capacity of a GAC representative in order to be up to the development and be informed if every 3 meetings, that means every year you need to change the representative and start from scratch. So there are some things we could actually reconsider, but I don't want to like go into a holistic exercise on this now, but maybe we need to think about how we deal with this in a midterm to make the most meaningful value added out of the travel support that we have. Was there Canada who was... No, okay. So other questions and comments. If that is not the case, then what is so you what are we doing now? What is the next step? Are we adopting this text so that we have some clarity in, based on the status quo, on existing practice with that we use for now, and then we think about how to maybe have a review of this as part of the operating principles, or maybe as a separate track, because there may be some issues we would like to review, but that may take us a little bit longer. So can we agree to these clarifications as they are now? Jamaica.
Yes. Chair, we'll be I think what I would want to submit, and all of you could correct me, we could circulate the documents that we had sent to this committee, to the operating committee for consideration. Because what we submitted was a case as to why we should be considered, even on a case-by-case basis, as Tracy pointed out, for periodic meetings, if not all three meetings per year. Where we basically highlighted which countries we represented and why it would be important for us to be at the meetings. And if not for the purposes of this document, at least for future any revision, it could be considered as well.
So I'm not sure whether I fully understood what you're proposing to share the document that you sent once again, or
yes, we'll share it once again, but I figure that you're trying to close this one. If not for the purposes of being a part or being considered for amendments to this document, at least for the operating working group.
So I think that is, of course, acceptable. So does that mean that we have agreed for the time being on this version of the text, and we need to continue, we commit to continue to look into this propose a way forward after the meeting. Olaf?
Thank you. And I think that we have at least reached some clarity that, while we have this expression reserved for, there is a possibility to interpret it on a case-by-case basis regarding the pre-approved organization slots. So, it would be helpful to be able to have this adopted, which I think we do, so we can also translate it and post it on the website and have this as a basis for the allocation of travel support for the upcoming Dublin meeting. So we don't run with something from 2011. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So with this, we come to an end of our before last session. The next one is about the GAC Underserved Regions Working Group, where we will be receiving an update. So the leads are African Union and Trinidad and Tobago. So Tracy, since you're sitting here, would you give us an update on this one? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Thomas, and I'll be very brief. So we circulated the terms of reference for the Underserved Regions Working Group. I believe at the last meeting in Singapore, we made it clear what we are attempting to achieve. There have been some comments coming in still on the terms of reference, but I believe we are in a finalization phase. I would like to call the terms of reference process to a close, and perhaps whether it be, probably not now, but certainly on the meeting list, have it formally adopted. We've had already a first meeting of the working group face-to-face at Buenos Aires, and the work plan project has begun. So we've begun working, and we would like to ensure that we have an agreed terms of reference to proceed with. As you would have heard, I believe, earlier in the GAC meeting, the CCTLD survey is already out. The working group is treating with that. We've had some survey information coming back in from some GAC members. So we would like to ensure that the working group is ready, formally codified and ready to go. And I'm hoping, Chair, that we can have that addressed as quickly as possible, perhaps if not now, certainly immediately after this meeting via the mailing list. Once again, I'd like to make a call to all, it's not only for underserved regions, but all members who are interested in participating to indicate their interest to the Secretariat, to be added to the mailing list. And we would like to probably formally have a session in Dublin. We had a side meeting, but maybe we could probably make it more formal to have a face-to-face with everybody who is interested. Certainly, we want to do a call in between the meetings to address the work plan issues and have a report on the work at Dublin. For the time being, I think that's it. Again, I would like to, if possible, close the terms of reference round and perhaps have that signed off and approved, if possible. If not now, certainly in the mailing list. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do also understand that you will be involved in the preparation of the Marrakesh high-level governmental meeting and support Morocco in...
Yes, Morocco has requested that we do provide some support, and we have agreed. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Questions or comments? If that is not the case, I can just say that it would be very wishful to have a meeting that all GAC members can attend of that working group in Dublin. I would just like to flag, and that goes to everything that we plan for Dublin, we may again need a little bit of time for trying to see where the GAC will stand and to what extent it agrees on what regarding the accountability workstream one work of the CCWG. So whatever we plan for Dublin will need to be a little bit flexible, maybe even more flexible than this time, but let's hope that won't use all of our time in Dublin so that we actually have time for important issues like what you are dealing with in this working group. So if there are no more questions, I think then let's thank you and move on to the last item, which is the preparation for Dublin. As we just spoke about Dublin, maybe I don't know whether the Secretariat can inform us a little bit about the reflection that we've had in the leadership team, in the Secretariat, and maybe also shared with others about how we plan or hope to organize the meeting in Dublin. So thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Thomas. I think the first point to make, as we always do, in looking ahead to the next GAC meeting, is that your input as the GAC membership is particularly important, not just the issues that have emerged from here, but issues that you identify in the lead-up to the next meeting in Dublin. And I have to stress that there is an opportunity at all times for GAC members to suggest priorities, specific agenda items, areas for further work at any time. There will be at least one agenda-setting call in the lead-up to the meeting in Dublin, and as always, you are strongly encouraged, indeed urged, to participate in that call or those calls, and to consider what you believe needs to be prioritised. I appreciate it's an ongoing process, and things will always get a little bit compressed towards the end of the process, and inevitably things will get a little bit busy in the immediate lead up to the meeting. However, the leadership group and the Secretariat will try to ensure that there is time for input, reflection, and particularly through those agenda setting calls. I think the outcomes from the meeting discussions this week suggest that Dublin is, as Thomas has said, firstly going to require a degree of time to have set aside for a GAC position on the CCWG accountability work. Remember, GAC is a chartering organisation, and just as GAC reached a position here as a chartering organisation on the CWG stewardship proposal, the accountability proposals as they emerge over the next month or two will also require a significant amount of time on the agenda. I think people understand that. The questions, the initial list of questions for GAC members' input has been sent out, and at the moment that's a significant item for the Dublin agenda. One very important procedural matter is of course, that vice-chair elections are required to be held in the Dublin meeting, and a reminder again that nominations have been opened. The high-level governmental meeting in Marrakesh, planning and discussion around that will be a significant item for Dublin as well. It's something that has to be decided in Dublin. As does, as we heard today, a GAC view on the new meeting structure. But, of course, that's not so much a GAC view to someone else. It's a GAC view about what the GAC wants to do, and it's in the hands of the GAC. So the new meeting structure to be started in 2016 is, again, something that really does require some decision and planning in the meeting in Dublin. The GAC working groups, which are now significantly advanced in their work following this week, will, I suspect, require some time to present and work through appropriate time slots at the Dublin meeting, and we'll have to work closely with the chairs of the various working groups to ensure that they have the right time and the right format for working with the GAC on furthering their work. And finally, there's one particular policy issue that has not been discussed this week, but that may well emerge as something that the GAC would need to spend some time on discussing both in intersessionally and at Dublin, and that is the issue of future registry services and the policy development process around that, which I flagged to you some weeks ago. You'll recall that's been identified through the new GNSO quick look mechanism. There will be an issues paper coming out in the next few weeks on that issue. This is what, to put it crudely, what replaces who is in the future. The GAC has previously identified a lot of significant issues around that. The policy development process will be proposing a whole new range of data collection, data retention and data access provisions, and I'm sure quite a number of governments will have some views on that. So that is coming. You have been forewarned about it, but it will become busy. It may well be something we have to find time for as well. Those are some of the major items I think we're taking out at the end of the week. Thomas, so back to you.
Thank you for this very useful update on things that we may expect to deal with. Comments, questions on this exposé? Yes, Spain.
I come back to an agenda item that we saw at the beginning of the week, that this is GAC advice effectiveness. I don't remember right now whether we'll have an assessment by Dublin or not, but that could be something we can take up at the Dublin meeting when we have the results of or the evaluation. We can then think in which areas we have to improve in order to be more effective. And I also think that by Dublin, some work could have been done on the bylaws consultation procedure that we are asking the board to initiate regarding GAC advice on new GTLD safeguards. So we'll have to devote some time to it as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Spain, for these remarks. If you look at the decision paper that you have received this morning, it's actually the first item on that list is the decision to support the initiation of the review and as a next step, we noted that ASIC will undertake the analysis and will report to us in Dublin. So that will, of course, be on the table somehow in Dublin. And with regard to the safeguards, yes, we will see how the board reacts to this, but I think the expectation from our side is quite clear that we should have the board engaging with us on the issues that they either have not implemented or decided not to implement the advice, or where we think they have not implemented it properly. So thank you for this. Other comments or questions? If this is not the case, then we will not unnecessarily prolong the meeting here and give you the opportunity to also go to other meetings that are currently ongoing, which are of importance as well. And that means that I will end by thanking everybody, starting with the interpreters, the secretariat staff, you all, the organizers of the meeting, all those people who served us wine and drinks at receptions, and so on and so forth. Thank you very much. And maybe since he's leaving, let's also thank Peter, sitting over there, hiding on the right end, for his very constructive work. We will miss you, and enjoy your next steps in your career and your issues that you're dealing with, and hope to see you again sometime somewhere. So thank you very much to everybody, and enjoy the rest of the meeting, and have safe travels home. Thank you.